Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusul wa khatamil anbiya, wa ala alihi al-askiya, wa ashabihi al-atqiya, amma ba'd. Today we will discuss verse number 57 of Surah Al-A'raf. If we backtrack a little and study the verses that are presented before this verse in the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses His great power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses how He created such great things from the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us about some interesting incidents and affairs of the hereafter. Now, keeping this in mind, Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, while establishing and explaining the connection between the previous verses and verse number 57, he says, "And know that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the proofs of Him being God and His complete knowledge and His ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now moves forward to establishing this very same thing, but on a lower level in the world that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. Something that we can see, something that we can observe, something that we can understand. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Now in this verse there are actually two very interesting lessons that we learn. The first is a very clear message, which is the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something we can see very clearly every day just by pondering and reflecting over the creation and the world around us. And that requires basically some wisdom and also some time for a person to stop their busy life and just reflect and ponder. How many times do we drive past and see the sun and see the moon and see the clouds and see it raining outside? Do we reflect over what's actually going on? Could the human being ever replicate these circumstances? Can we ever water such a vast land, the whole world? We struggle to water a simple greenhouse, take care of the temperature in a single greenhouse, to maintain the plants within a limited, restricted area that we have to craft and carefully monitor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the entire world like a greenhouse, maintaining it, taking care of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for all of His creation. So that's a very clear first reflection for us. The second thing though, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us reflect over how resurrection after death will also occur. The example of resurrection is in these verses. Because the human being would think, after you bury someone, that that's the end of it. You bury someone, you lower them into the ground, before you even bury them, their body starts decomposing. You lower them into the ground, if you were to visit that very same gravesite 6 months from that point, or 2 years from that point, open up that grave, there'll be nothing there. maybe some fragments, a few bones, you push them to the side, you clean out the grave, you spray something in there, and you recycle the grave. You go across the road, this is what they do. Go to Baqiyah in Medina Munawwara, the graveyard there. They recycle graves every 4 to 6 years. Because once you dig that grave up, again, nothing is there. Now someone can object and say, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect someone after they've died and decomposed to this degree right here? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that in these verses. He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sends the winds carrying good news before His blessings. بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. His blessings are the rain itself. Because someone who, you know, is a farmer or someone who is trying to grow something, when human beings actually interacted with the food that they ate, it was very important for them to see rain. When rain would come, they would celebrate. Because everything is created from water, and water is the source of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created everything from water. Everything living was created from water. So they wait for rain, but before that rain comes, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends winds. And these winds come with glad tidings. Now keep in mind, when the wind would come during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when heavy wind would come, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start making dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, because there was a people that came before who saw the wind coming and they started celebrating. هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا. Allah azza wa jal said, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They thought this was a mercy of Allah, but little did they know, because of their sins, because of them demanding the punishment of Allah, they said to the Prophet, show us the punishment. That wind that they thought was a blessing of Allah ended up coming with a punishment. That's why the scholars, they say, generally speaking, in the Quran, when the word rih or riyah is used, it comes in the context of a punishment. Inna arsalna alayhim rihan sarsaran. And there are all through the Quran. Usually the word rih, which means a heavy wind, it comes in the meaning of a punishment. It comes in a negative connotation. But that's why in this verse we see, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا. Allah brings a sifa right away. What kind of wind is this? It carries good news. It brings glad tidings. And it's a glad tiding of what? What's about to come next. بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِي. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us reflect over how this wind comes into existence and what's about to come. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا. This أَقَلَّتْ means حَمَلَتْ. That this wind carries sihaban, clouds. The word sihab can come mudhakkar or muannath. It can come masculine or feminine. That's why أَقَلَّتْ is feminine. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا. It brings the clouds, but they're not just empty clouds. سِحَابًا ثِقَالًا. They're heavy clouds, meaning they're carrying water. These are heavy clouds. The wind, which is so light in itself, if a person were to try to interact with wind, try to capture it, they couldn't. It's such a light creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like when we talked about the creation of the malaika. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. These winds, they carry these clouds to a dead land, a barren land. And then what happens? فَأَنزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ. We allow water to fall upon that land. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And that land that was dead, through this wind of Allah, through the permission of Allah, through the rain that Allah allows to descend upon that land, what happens? فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. This land brings forth all different types of fruits. It becomes fertile, and it begins to provide so much vegetation and fruit. كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, similarly, we will bring the dead back to life. We will resurrect the dead. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So that you can learn your lesson. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates a hadith that's narrated by Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi from Abu Razim al-Uqayli radiallahu anhu. He says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَيْفَ يُعِيدُ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect the dead back to life? وَمَا آيَةُ ذَلِكَ فِي خَلْقِهِ. And what is the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do such a thing? How can we witness this within Allah's creation that is around us? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ said, أَمَا مَرَرْتَ بِوَادِ قَوْمِكَ جَدْبًا. جَدْبًا for barren. أَمَا مَرَرْتَ بِوَادِ قَوْمِكَ جَدْبًا ثُمَّ مَرَرْتَ بِهِ يَهْتَزُّ خَضِرًا. Have you not walked past a land before that was barren? and then you moved on, and 1 year later or a few months later, you came back to that very same land, and it was fertile and green? I mean, for us, this is easy. Come summer, all the grass burns out, and the ground becomes very dry. You wait till, you wait later on in the year, when it comes close to October, September, now the ground becomes green again. So the companion, when he was asked this question, قَالَ نَعَمْ, he said, yes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَتِلْكَ آيَةُ اللَّهِ فِي خَلْقِهِ. This is the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. That anything dead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring it back to life. Similarly, there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim from Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, it's a part of a longer narration, a lengthier narration. ثُمَّ يُرْسِلِ اللَّهُ أَوْ قَالَ يُنْزِلِ اللَّهُ مَطَرًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then send rain. He will send rain. كَأَنَّهُ الطَّلْ, as if it'll be a light rain. If you guys remember, we covered the word طَلْ before, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either sends a heavy rain, or He sends طَلْ, which means a light rain. A light rain will descend upon the people. فَتَثْبُتُ بِهِ أَجْسَادُ النَّاسِ, those that are in the grave, their bodies will become firm. When that rain comes on the ground, their bodies will become firm. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, it will be said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ هَلُمُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, O mankind, come to your Lord. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ, and have them stand up, because now you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many narrations in this regard as well. The scholars, they present these narrations as a part of the interpretation of this verse to show us that there is actually an involvement of rain in the process of resurrection when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will demand His servants to be resurrected. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be from people who reflect over the creation and use that as an opportunity to build a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to read some sophisticated philosophical book on the existence of God to believe in Him. If you want your iman to be strong, learn to reflect over Allah's creation. As a father of four children, I've tried many techniques on developing iman in my children, and something that I'm worried about day and night. But I kid you not, the one technique that worked most effectively for me, and that you may find this laughable, but I'll tell you, it's honestly. I sat with my kids one day and we watched a show on Netflix. This was the most effective way for their iman to be developed. And I saw the iman growing in their heart, in their eyes. And what did I watch? I watched that Planet Earth show with them, where they are discussing the different unique ajaib of the world. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created creation in the most unique ajib way. And they're interacting with Allah's creation. They're watching this. I remember my son was 8 years old. He was sitting next to me. And we were watching this episode of a lizard. The moment it's birth, it's born in a warland, surrounded by snakes. The moment it's born, within 30 seconds, it has to save its life. And then after this little scene of the show passed by, just, you know, to probe, I said to my son, what a crazy coincidence. Like, this is a crazy coincidence. This lizard knows how to save its life 30 seconds after being born into the world. And my son at that point said, Dad, this is impossible to be a coincidence. He's only doing this because Allah has taught him to do this. And that's when I said in my heart, Alhamdulillah, and I smiled. Because this is how you develop iman. Iman isn't developed just through praying salah, which is a manifestation of your iman. This is how you grow your iman. But its birth occurs when a person interacts with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's not going to happen if your kids play video games all day. That's not going to happen if you're stuck to your phone all day. That's not going to happen by being surrounded by brick and mortar and artificial light and sitting on carpets all day. You have to learn to sit on the ground, the soil that Allah created. Sit underneath the sun and benefit from the heat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. You know, be sweaty and thirsty and then feel the breeze pass by you and thank Allah and pray to Allah that one day the breeze passes by you on the day of judgment. This is how your iman is developed. This is how iman comes into existence. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people of iman. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.